This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So now we will go over the chapter of Raja, or restoration of marriage. And Imam Qudama rahimahullah says here in his book Al-Umda, إذا طلق امرأته بعد الدخول بغير عوض أقل من ثلاث أو العبد أقل من اثنتين فله رجعتها ما دامت في العدة لقول الله تعالى وبعولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك إن أرادوا إصلاحا. If he divorces his wife after consummation and without compensation with less than three divorces or less than two for the slave, he is entitled to raja'a, restoration of the marriage, as long as she is still in her iddah. This is because of the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Most High, and their husbands have more right to take them back in this, meaning in this period, if they want reconciliation. Surah Al-Baqarah. So, raja'a is with or without the wife's approval. It is without the wife's approval, you know, however it may sound, but it is without the wife's approval, because he has more right to take her back, as Allah says, وَبُعُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. And their husbands have more right to taking them back in that is what? During the iddah. During the iddah. If the iddah is not, has not ended, then their husbands have the right to taking them back. When do they have this right? If you have the conditions that we listed before in the previous session. We said a marriage was consummated, it is the first or the second, it is not for compensation, and it is not court enforced. And it is it was talaq not fasch, talaq not annulment. If all those conditions are there, then the husband has the right to take in his wife back. In aradu islaha means that if they want reconciliation. What if they do not want reconciliation? He will still have the right to take her back in the sight of the law, but not in the sight of God. What if he wanted to take her back to harm her and not to reconcile? There is a difference here between, you know, al-hukm, al-qada, wa al-diyana. In the sight of God, he will be a sinner. In the sight of the law, I can't know people's intentions. So he will just take her back, and the qadi will basically approve of this or validate this restoration if it was disputed. So one of the things that people could do if they are saying talaq to their wives and they want, like, it's coming out and they regret it before they finish the word, is to make istithna. We should have talked about it in the previous session. To make istithna, exclusion, sort of contingency. Or to say something that would sort of invalidate it. So if he says to her, anti talaq, awla, or not. Or if he says to her, anti talaq, and before he finishes the word, he says, when the sun rises from the west. When the sun rises from the west, this will be problematic according to the Malikis, I believe, because for them, you know, the condition of divorce will be immediate, will not wait until, the condition takes place. If it is basically attached to a time that will come in the future for certain. You know, anti-talaq in the, if Muharram first, for instance, You know, the rest of the scholars will say that you will be Tariq Muharram first. The Malikis will say immediately. But to be even smarter, you will say, if you go to the moon or something like this, or to Mars, to make it more difficult, because the moon may be a possibility in the future. Anyway, so then we're talking about raja'a here, and we said that the man has the right to raja'a, to reconcile. Then the Shaykh said, وَالرَّجَعَ أَنْ يَقُولَ لِلْرَجُلَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِشْهَدَ عَلَيَّ أَنِّي قَدْ رَاجَعْتُ زَوْجَتِي أَوْ رَدَدْتُهَا أَوْ أَمْسَكْتُهَا مِنْ غَيْرِ وَلِي وَلَا صَدَاقْ. من غير ولي ولا صداق يزيده ولا رضاها. Raja'a occurs when the man says to two Muslim men, be witnesses that I took my wife back or returned her or kept her, for this he does not need a wali, a payment more than the original sadaq, or even her approval, because he is entitled to this raja'a. And as we said before, you know, if she is unable to handle the marriage, keep in mind that most of the time, when the wife is unable to handle the marriage, she can make the man divorce her. Because he will be forced, all of the obligations of marriage are court enforced, and she may not sort of, like, she can have all of the obligations of marriage on his side, be court enforced. And the opposite is not always true. So she can push him until he divorces her. And if that is not the case, she can have khula. So she's not locked into the relationship. It is not like she is locked into the relationship. She will have ways to make him divorce her, or she can obtain a khula from him. But anyway, the raja'a is basically for reconciliation. It is for restoration of the marriage, because divorce is a hated outcome. Can cause harm to the two parties and to the children and everyone. So that is why the concept of raja'a makes perfect sense. And we will see now how Allah facilitated that restoration by keeping them together in the same household throughout her period. Now, what about shahada? Because we should talk here about shahada, because he says that raja'a occurs when he says, when the man says to two Muslim men, be witnesses, and so on and so forth. So this is the perfect raja'a. This is the perfect raja'a that basically fulfills all the obligations and the sunan. This is the perfect raja'a. But is this the only way to make raja'a? No, it is not the only way to make raja'a, and we will see why shortly. So if he does not have ishad, then within Ahl-Sunnah, ishad is mandatory according to the Malikis, some Malikis, Al-Hanbalis. And according to another report in the Hanbali madhab, it is not only mandatory, it's also a condition of validity. Is this the Maliki position? Do I have a capital or a small M?
You just said dash some Malikis.
Some Malikis, yeah. It is not the main position. I have a little less also, some Shafi'is as well. But anyway, it is not the obligation of ishad or to have witnesses is not really an authorized position in any of the four mazahib. All the four mazahib, that is this now, would say that ishad is recommended, is mustahab, is recommended, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah At-Talaq, فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَفَارِقُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ. So if they reach their term, then you either retain them in goodness or release them in goodness or separate from them, فَارِقُوهُنَّ. In the other verse, سَرِّحُوهُنَّ, but here it's فَارِقُوهُنَّ, separate from them in goodness. وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الشَّهَادَةَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكُمْ يَعْظُوا بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. So it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوَيْ عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ, and then make two trustworthy witnesses basically testify or bring to witness two trustworthy persons, men. So now this ishad was considered, it is a command in the Quran, so how come all the authorized positions in the madhahib, and because it is a command in the Quran, some Malikis and some Shafi'is and a position within the Hanbali madhab said it is obligatory. Some Hanbalis went as far as saying it is conditional, it's a condition of validity. But why is it that, the authorized view in the form of Zahib says that it is sunnah? Because they say that the purpose, because they say that this applies not only to Raja'ah, but it also applies to Talaq. And since we agree, who's we? That is Ahl Sunnah. Because the Shia don't agree. Since we agree that Talaq does not require witnesses, Raja'ah also does not require witnesses. And that would even make more sense in Raja'ah, because the purpose of Raja'ah will not be served if you need witnesses. Because Raja'ah should be a spontaneous, like, warming of the heart or, like, a sort of restoration of feelings between the two, married people after the divorce. They are still in the same household, and then the sort of spontaneous sort of restoration of feelings for each other. So that's why Raja'ah does not need witnesses, because Allah wants this to happen, to take place in the privacy of their home without the man having to run out to the street and bring two witnesses. Now, is it still important for him to have two witnesses? Yes, it is important for him to have two witnesses. If he claims that he took her back, and she claimed that he did not take her back until her iddah ended, if she makes the claim that her iddah ended, and then he says, I took her back before it ended, and he is unable to produce two witnesses, al-qawlu qawluha am qawluhu, is it her statement or his? Hers. Hers. Yes. Because he did not bring witnesses. So, okay. So, witnesses would be important, and it would be important also for sort of record keeping, to keep count of the divorces. To keep count of the divorces. Is this for disambiguation or? She denies that he took her back, then we will accept her denial if she says that her idda ended and he's unable to produce witnesses.
So, according to the Quran, she's divorced, but according to the Vienna, she said she's not divorced.
Well, if she knows that he took her back and she denied it, then she's in a, certainly a trouble. because she lied to court, you know. But if she does not know, like he had taken her back without telling her and without having witnesses, then she can deny, she should deny, because he neither produced witnesses nor did she hear him, and her idda ended. So she can certainly say that my idda ended. But all of this is coming. Then the sheikh says here, وَإِنْ وَطِئَهَا كَانَ رَجَعَ. And if the has intercourse with her, that in itself counts as a raja. That in itself counts as a raja. Now, they are at home together, and as we will see here, that they are telling her, you could sort of wear your jewelry, your best clothes, you don't have to cover. The point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted this marriage to be restored. So Allah has given them that period where she is still a wife, technically. She is still a wife. Therefore, khalwa is fine, you know, and everything's fine. But now, if he touches her without intending to take her back, is this a problem or not? Okay, let's see what they will say now. Well, let's start with the Hanafis, because the Hanafis will consider anything, you know, any lustful touching or anything, you know, like this, would consider it an automatic restoration. So she's that's it. He doesn't need to speak. It's automatically restored. Okay, he doesn't need to intend, he does not need to speak. It is the action itself, for them, the action itself counts as restoration. On the opposite side from the Hanafis, you have the Shafi'is, who require the verbal restoration. So actions do not count as restoration. They would require him to tell her, I take you back. If he does not say this, his actions do not count as restoration. The Malikis have like a position that is like the Hanafis, that not only intercourse, but also the sort of whatever comes before that, all of that, will count as a form of actual, not verbal, restoration of the marriage. But they have a contingency. He need to intend by that to restore. Intend by his action to restore. And that is a position within the Hanbali madhab as well, that he does need to intend a restoration. What do the Hanbalis say? The Hanbalis say it's not all actions. It's only intercourse. And do they require intention? No, they don't require intention. Do they require intention? They don't require intention. So Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah sort of took the Maliki position and the Hanbali position and mixed them, and he said intercourse with intention. Intercourse with intention of restoration would count as restoration. Now, what does that mean? It means that for the Shafi'is, if he does not take her back, he has committed a crime. If he does not take her back verbally. And for the Malikis and Ibn Taymiyyah, if he does not intend the restoration, he has committed a crime. For the others, the very act itself would count as restoration. Now the Sheikh says, وَالرَّجْعِيَةُ زَوْجَةً يَلْحَقُهَا الطَّلَاقُ وَالظِّهَارُ وَلَهَا التَّزَيُّنُ لِزَوْجِهَا وَالتَّشَرُّفُ لَهُ وله وطؤها والخلوة بها والسفر بها. The one whose divorce is unfinalized is still a wife who is subject to divorce and zihar. She may beautify herself subject to divorce. We did talk about this in the previous session. According to the majority and the agreement of the four mazahib, she is subject to divorce. We said that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said she's only subject to divorce after restoration. She may beautify herself for her husband and reach out to him. He is entitled to have intercourse and be in seclusion with her, as well as to travel with her. And then once he has that, then that will count as restoration. And they either stay together or initiate another divorce. But she is Zawja. If either one of them dies during the waiting period, do they inherit from each other? Yes, they inherit from each other. So the sort of the rulings of marriage continue during the time of Iddah in the hopes of restoring that marriage. And then the Sheikh said, وَإِذَا ارْتَجَعَهَا عَادَتْ عَلَى مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ طَلَاقِهَا. If he takes her back, she resumes the marriages with the remainder of the divorces left. Remainder of the divorces left. Now, what does that mean? It means that he sort of divorced her. And then, will he talk about the, if... Oh, let's read the other paragraph so that we can... ولو تركها حتى بانت ثم نكحت غيره ثم بانت منه وتزوجها الأول رجعت إليه على ما بقي من طلاقها. If he leaves her until her divorce becomes finalized by reaching the end of her عدة, then she marries and later gets a finalized divorce from the second man, and then the first husband marries her again, she goes back to him with the number of the divorces she had remaining. So he divorced her, and then he had raja after the divorce. Now, she becomes his wife. How many divorces are left?
Two.
Two. By agreement. Okay. Now, he divorced her, and her iddah ended. Okay? He can remarry her, right? He did not remarry her. Another man married her. Another marriage happened here. Another marriage happened here. And then that other man divorced her. She went back to the first. How many divorces does he still have? Whoever said two is right, because we're Hanbalis here. It's only three according to the Hanafis. The Hanafis will make this basically a new sort of... since she got married to someone else, they will basically start the count anew. And the first husband will now have three opportunities because she had married someone else. But the majority, and that's the Maliki, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, will say that they will only have two. When is that? After the first divorce. Or the second divorce. After the second divorce, she would go back to him with one. But if it was after the third divorce, and then she married another man, she goes back to the first with how many?
Three.
Three. That's when this, you know, after the third divorce, if she marries another man and divorces gets divorced from the other man and goes back to the first husband, they have three opportunities. Then the Sheikh said, وَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَ فِي انْقِضَاءِ عِدَّتِهَا فَالْقَوْلُ قَوْلُهَا مَعَ يَمِينِهَا إِذَا ادَّعَتْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مُمْكِنًا. If they disagree over the ending of her iddah, her word will be taken over his, along with her oath, as long as her claim is possible. As long as her claim is possible. When is her claim possible? That depends on, you know, when can the iddah end? Now, if the iddah is by months, that is for the one who has not menstruated yet and the postmenopausal one, there will not be disagreement, right? Because it is by months. So everybody can count to that. But if she is min dawat al quru, if her iddah is by her periods, then she's the only one who can basically tell us when her iddah ended. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَا حَدُّ لَهُنَّ أَنْ يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَمِهِنَّ أَنْ كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That it is impermissible for them, and يَكْتُمْنَ مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَمِهِنَّ, to conceal that which Allah had created in their wombs, if they believe in Allah and the final day. So Allah made it their responsibility. Allah made it their responsibility. وَمُطَلَّقَاتُ يَتْرَبَّصْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. So divorced women wait for three quru. Now, we will come in the chapter of Idad and talk about the quru in some detail. But in general, the shortest idda ever, because this is applicable here, because he says in iddat min zalika mumkinan, if she claims something that is possible, they consider this to be, if she came after 1 month, more than 1 month, and said my iddah ended, that's it. We will believe her. We will not need any more than this. If she came between 28/29 days, but the 29 is the position in the madhab authorized, between 29 and 30, you know, so less than 29, but not more than 1 month. In that very sort of small period, window here, she came and she said, my iddah ended. We will ask her to bring someone to testify to this from her household, like another woman. You know, she will come and say, yes, in our family, we get like periods, like short periods, and get them so often, or something like this, or I have known that she gets the periods so often, and things like that. Okay. Why is this? Because what is the shortest period of period, according to the Hanbalis? And the shortest period of period, you know, I'm not going to get into my own sort of reflections on this, because it will take like too long. But according to the Hanbalis, what is the shortest period of a period that is qur, that is a menstrual period? 1 day. And according to the Hanbalis, what is the shortest period of the period between the two periods? That is the tahr, 13 days. So if someone divorces his wife at the, you know, we said that in order for you to divorce the right way, would be during the period of tahr, purity. And then now we have this hide for 1 day. So P for purity, M for menstruation. Okay, so here, P13. Okay, P13, M1. P13, M1. Now, if you say that Tarasat Kuru, that they have to wait three periods, that means three menstrual periods, not three periods of purity, but three periods of menstruation. And that is the authorized Hanbali position as well as the Hanafi position, as we will come to see. So if we say that, and he divorces her here, right here, right before she starts, like 1 minute before she starts her next period. He divorces her here. So she will have to wait three menstrual periods. This will count as one, right? This will count as the second, right? This will count as the third. And because the period, because it is three periods, we will have to wait until the end of this. So by the end of her menstruation, her idda will have ended. So add 1 to 13, add 1, 13, 1, 13, 1. So that is 29. So why am I saying 28 sometime? Like, if you consider this to be, if you consider Thalathat Quru' to be the period between the periods, the period of purity, and he divorces her here, will we count this period as part of her, as the first, what we consider this period, he divorces her here, right before the menstruation. Will we consider this as the first? Yes. Because unlike the three menstrual periods, when we count by athar, the first one in which the divorce took place will be counted as the first one. If someone divorces his wife during the menstrual period, will we count that menstrual period? No. If someone divorces his wife during her, which no one should divorce his wife during a menstrual period, but if he did. If someone divorces his wife within the period of purity, will we count that? Yes. This is an important difference. So now we're counting this as the first period. This is the second period. This is the third period. When does her idda end? Once she gets the first drop of blood here. Not soon, she will not wait the whole day so that her idda ends at the end of the day. No. Her idda will end once she gets the first drop of blood here. So count from here to here, 1 plus 13 plus 1 plus 13, 28. So if she claimed something that is possible, we will believe her. If it is in that tiny period, less than 1 month, but still possible, she will need to bring a witness. If it is more than 1 month, then she will not need to bring a witness. And the Sheikh said, وَإِذَا اخْتَلَفَ فِي انْقِضَاءِ عِدَّتِهَا فَالْقَوْلُ قَوْلُهَا مَعَ يَمِينِهَا إِذَا ادَّعَتْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مُمْكِنًا. We are done with this. وَإِنْ ادَّعَ الزَّوْجُ بَعْدَ انْقِضَاءِ عِدَّتِهَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ قَدْ رَاجَعَهَا فِي عِدَّتِهَا فَأَنْكَرَتْهُ فَالْقَوْلُ قَوْلُهَا. If after the ending of her idda, the man claims that he took her back during her idda, her word will be taken over his, unless he brings forth two witnesses. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ بَيِّنَةً حُكِمَ لَهُ بِهَا فَإِنْ كَانَتْ قَدْ تَزَوَّجَتْ رُدَّتْ إِلَيْهِ سَوَاءٌ دَخَلَ بِهَا الثَّانِي أَوْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْ. If he has evidence of his claim, the decree will be in his favor because of the evidence. If she has already married another man, she will be returned to the first, whether or not the second man has consummated his marriage with her. Okay. So now her idda ended, and then he claimed that he had taken her back. Whether he had taken her back but she doesn't know, or she does know but she is denying it, if he does not bring the two witnesses, then the court will accept her word over his. If he brings two witnesses, And then she says, but I got married. You know, once married, the end of that, I got married. We will see if she consummated the marriage or not. If she has not consummated the marriage, they will all give her back to her husband when he proves that he took her back by two witnesses. If the marriage was consummated, then we will have the Malikis and another position in the Hanbali Madhab. They will keep her with the second because the marriage has been consummated. And the first did not come during the time of the Iddah. He came afterwards. The Hanafis, Shafi'is, and Hanbalis will give her back to the first. Because it's not like they're giving her back like she's a commodity, but the idea here is they will say that the first marriage is still valid. She is still married. She got married to a second man while she is still married to the first. And she cannot be married to two men. Huh? Well, it depends on whether she was aware of it or not. It is possible that she was aware. It's possible that he took her back and told her, but she denied it, and he could not produce proof. You know, if he could not produce proof, she'll be living in sin. But the court will believe her because, you know, unless he made it to the court before her iddah ended. He made it to the court before her iddah ended. In this case, it's obvious, you know. But and then if he took her to the court and says, I take my wife back, and after he claims that he took her back, she claims that her iddah ended, we will believe him over her. But if she claimed that her iddah ended, before, in front of people, before he took her back, we will always believe, take her word over his. In iddat min zalika mumkinan, if her claim was, you know, possible, realistic. قولوا قولي هذا استغفر الله لكم. Inshallah, we will come back after 5 minutes to finish the chapter of iddah. Someone was asking a question.
If he never tells her that she's cheating, that he returned her, now what's the situation? If he returned her in a different country, what is her situation?
Well, once her iddah ends and she has not heard from him, she is free to marry.